Turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6, our reading will be verses 8 through 27. Joshua 6, 8 through 27. God's word instructs us in this way today. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests, carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord, went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests, who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout! For the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave it a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, and brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son will he lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest will he set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. May God bless this reading as well. Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word this morning, we ask your grace to understand it. We ask your grace to apply it to our own lives. And we give thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, my Uncle Sam sent me on a trip to beautiful Great Lakes, sometimes known as boot camp. And there I had to learn a number of things, and I had to learn them in a hurry. If you don't learn things in a hurry in boot camp, there are consequences. For instance, if I didn't learn my service number, they didn't use the Social Security number then. We had separate service numbers. If you didn't learn that, you were in trouble because you usually had to recite it when you were in a room where they threw gas bombs. And you couldn't put your gas mask on until you recited that newly learned service number. There was an incentive for us to learn it and learn it quickly. Other things we had to learn. What's this thing called reveille? Well, it's when the trumpet sounds at about 5 in the morning, but we also had to learn you couldn't call it 5 a.m. It had to be 0500. We also learned that there was another trumpet sound in the evening. It was called taps. And at that time, all lights were to be out. It was time to go to bed. Now. You learned to do things when you were told to do them. And you learned often that it came at the sound of a trumpet. And that's one of the topics this morning, you see, the sounding of the trumpet when Joshua and his people were going up to Jericho. And what we see in this passage, as well as in a lot of places throughout God's Word, is that God demands complete obedience from his people. Part way won't do. Let me look first at the idea of the trumpets. Trumpets in Scripture. We see multiple uses for trumpets in God's Word, as well as multiple kinds of materials used to make them. Animal horns of different kinds, as well as precious metals. Trumpets were used for warning Israel about danger. The watchman would stand on the wall, and when he saw approaching danger, he would sound the trumpet. They were used to be blown at various celebrations in the temple. Coronations of kings, burnt offerings. But the trumpet wasn't only for religious ceremonies. It was used in warfare as well. It was used to signal commands to the various parts of the army in various places, to signal when to attack, encourage the soldiers, while at the same time striking fear into the heart of the enemy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the sound of the trumpet accompanies the clothing of God's people with the resurrection bodies. And of course, in Revelation chapter 11, there are seven trumpets. The seventh of these, found in chapter 11, will announce the end of all rebellion against God and the completion of the kingdom of God. God reigns and reigns supreme. So here, in this chapter of Joshua, at the sound of the trumpet, what happens? The men of Israel go straight in. At the sound of the trumpet, they are to destroy every living thing. At the sound of the trumpet, they are to rescue Rahab. First, going straight in. Verse 13 we pick up, where it says, "The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. This they did for 6 days. On the seventh day they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.' The city and all that is in it is to be devoted to the Lord. Israel did as God had commanded Joshua. Seven priests headed out in their full priestly regalia, all dressed up in their Saturday go-to-meeting clothes, because this was a priestly religious duty, not warfare. You see, obedience is a form of worship. Worship is expressing our faith in the living God. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were expressing their faith. Now, it's easy to say, stand at the altar and make a lot of promises on your wedding day. But you need to prove your loving devotion for the rest of your life together. It's easy to say, oh, I love you, Lord, when things are going smoothly and everybody around you is singing Kumbaya, which doesn't happen too often in this congregation, at least not the Kumbaya part. But to march around a city that is hostile to your very existence, instead of attacking it, or instead of tunneling under its walls, that's obedience. That's devotion. That's worship. Go straight in. That's what God told Joshua. That's what Joshua told the people. That's what the people did. How did they do it? Well, first there was that 6 days of marching. Not only was Israel to march around the city, even while the horns were blasting, and you could hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of millions of feet, they were to be absolutely quiet while doing it. No talking. Now, maybe it wasn't that way when you were in school, but when I was in school, when you got in line for this and got in line for that, and got in line at the boys' entrance to the school and the girls' entrance to the school, it was no talking, quiet. I doubt that we were quite as obedient as was Israel on these days when they were marching around the city. Here you are walking with literally millions of people and you can't talk. It's all part of God's plan. Why these specific acts or non-acts, as the case may be? Well, I'm not sure. But as I said last week, I know that part of the idea was to foster trust. Trust in God. You don't have to be walking along making plans. If they start shooting arrows, we're going to do this. If they start throwing rocks or boiling oil, we'll do that. Or making plans for the after party. Just walk along. Be quiet. Prayer's okay. 6 days of one turn around the city, then back to camp. About a third of a mile, archaeologists figure. It's not a long walk. In fact, with as many people as they had marching, by the time the first group got back, there were many groups that hadn't even started out yet. So one turn around the city took quite a bit of time. This was preparation for the big day. The seventh day. At verse 16. The seventh time around, when the priest shouted, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies that we sent. And then verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in. and they took the city. Things got changed on that seventh day. Israel was to march around the city seven times. That's almost 2.5 miles. On the seventh circuit, the loud blast would sound, the people would shout. And what happened then? Well, Hebrews 11, chapter 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Fell down. They hadn't been there. They hadn't put mines under the wall. They hadn't dug tunnels. They hadn't done anything to compromise the integrity of the wall. They marched around it for 6 days. They marched around it seven times on the seventh day, and then they all started shouting while the trumpets were blasting. Must have been pretty noisy. And the wall fell down by faith. The rout was on. Remember that Israel had the city surrounded. Jews everywhere. At every corner and along every wall. And so when the wall fell down and every man went straight in, they were all headed for the center of the city, to the heart of the city, straight to the heart of a heathen, God-hating, despicable people. Which brings us to our next point. At the sound of the trumpet, destroy every living thing. The city and all that it is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Verse 18, but keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. Verse 20, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Now, we've come to a part of the Bible that a lot of people would rather forget. Awful lot of bloodshed. Awful lot of nastiness. Warfare. Other people would like to use this part of the Bible to prove that that God of yours, he's not so loving, is he? We come to the biblical concept of destruction. Devotion to the Lord and destruction. How do we explain this? Well, first we need to understand that the destruction of this city, the destruction of the men and women, the children and the animals, is not the destruction of a city full of innocents. It is not a matter of collateral damage where they happen to get in the way and get killed. Rather, what's happening here is the wiping out of a disease waiting to infect Israel, God's people. Not even the children are innocent. They're all part of an inherently wicked culture that, if allowed to, would morally and theologically pollute and corrupt the people of Israel and turn them against God. So, this destruction is God's protection for his people. Cruel as it may sound, he was protecting Israel. How? Well, first of all, there's this destruction idea. This word, which is translated destruction, some of you will know that in Hebrew it's chayim, It's used more than 40 times in the Old Testament. None more than in Joshua, where we find it 8 times. Interesting, at least to me, is the fact that in modern Hebrew, this word can be used to mean a boycott or a ban on something. But those are mild. Those are not the meaning that was given to Joshua and Israel while besieging Jericho. God wanted them to kill almost every living thing and save only those precious items which were to be put in the treasury. God had his reasons. But there's another lesson here. That is, for both of Israel and for the church of today, in for a penny, in for a pound. You're all in or you're not in. You obey everything that God tells you to do, or your partial obedience is nothing. This last step, this destruction, was required of Israel. It is no obedience that is partial obedience. Let me give you a biblical example. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read this, beginning at verse 17. 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel?" He's talking to Saul. "And he sent you on a mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" Going down to verse 24, we read, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord.' But Samuel said to him, 'I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel.'" You did part of it. You went to war against the Amalekites. "But I told you to destroy them because they would do harm to my people, and you didn't. And now God has rejected you as king." And we know that Saul had nothing but trouble for the rest of his life. God doesn't want lukewarm Christians. As he explained to the Laodicean Christians in Revelation chapter 3, when he said, "I would rather that you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I spit you out, I vomit you. I don't want you to be halfway in, 1 foot in, 1 foot out." God doesn't want us only to lie to government officials. He doesn't want us to only steal from the boss if we don't like him. He doesn't only want us to commit adultery when our spouse doesn't understand us. No, God said, "Do not lie." Period. God said, "Do not steal." That means totally. Do not steal anything from anybody. God said, "Do not commit adultery." Period. There's no part way. We have to be all in. So Israel destroyed almost everything alive with the edge of the sword. Now I want you to think hard about this next thing. Imagine the grace of God that keeps him from having this nation destroyed. Are we anything like Jericho? Oh, yes, we are. We have our false gods. We have our heathen, pagan practices. We have human sacrifice, abortion of millions. We have drugs. We have people who give diseases to other people intentionally. The grace of God. Imagine how much it takes for Him not to destroy this nation. Now, what about rebuilding? Verse 24. They then burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. Verse 26. At that time Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son will he lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest will he set up its gates." Israel killed all of the living, took out all of the gold, silver, bronze, iron, and then burnt the city to a crisp. Even the essence of the sinfulness of Jericho was not to be preserved. And Joshua put a pretty heavy curse on anyone who would attempt to rebuild the city. This curse would fall upon Hiel of Bethel. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, we read this. 1 Kings 16:34. In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of his firstborn son Abiram. And he set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. Do you think God's kidding around when He tells us there are things He wants us to do and other things that He wants us not to do? Today there is an historic city called Jericho. Jesus even passed through it in His day. But it's built more than a mile away from the original site, which is an archaeological site, and that only. So at the sound of the trumpet, the men went straight in to Jericho. At the sound of the trumpet, they went in and destroyed life. But also at the sound of the trumpet, they went in to rescue Rahab. Verse 22, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, the same two who had already met Rahab, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. This, of course, is the reason that I said that Israel went in and killed almost every living thing in Israel, or in Jericho. Under God's instruction, Joshua sent in the same spies who had already been to Rahab's house, and they went in to lead her and her family safely out of the city. Going back to Hebrews chapter 11, we read in verse 31, "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." Two important things there. First, they saved Rahab. They rescued her. She had been faithful. But the second thing is, notice that those who were killed are referred to as those who were disobedient. They heard God's word. They knew about the miracles that God had done for Israel. They saw that wall of water when he stood it up and said, "Okay, Israel, come right through the river." And they were disobedient. And there are consequences to disobedience to God. So what happened with Rahab? Well, first, she and her family were placed outside the camp. They weren't allowed inside the boundaries of where Israel was camping. They did not enter the camp of the Hebrews that day. Why not? Well, by virtue of their association with an unclean people, Rahab and her family would have been ceremonially unclean. Therefore, it was necessary for them to stay for a time period outside the camp for a period of cleansing, prayer, sacrifices being made. But you see, this was only temporary. For she was to live the rest of her life inside Israel. Verse 25. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Because of her faith, Rahab was folded into Israel. She became an insider. I'm certain that she spent the rest of her life living and learning about God, about being an Israelite, learning about his covenant promises and his faithfulness. She lived through the conquest of the rest of Canaan as an Israelite, as one of God's chosen people. And this, brothers and sisters, is what God promises us as well. Those of us who are faithful. Those of us who would hide her spies. Those of us who would be obedient. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9. God gives us this message. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Verse 10 goes on, once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Despite all that hard stuff we've read about, the blood, the gore, the sword, all of those in Jericho who had been obedient to the word of God were saved. The rest were not. And today, all who are obedient to the call of God, to his word, are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a peculiar people. Oh, I hope you're peculiar. We need to be peculiar. We need to stand out from the rest of the heathen crowd among whom we live. The wicked, despicable society in which we live. We need to be peculiar because we're chosen, because we're a royal priesthood. And if you're one of them, if you're one of us, folks, then you're his pet. He loves you. He will take care of you. You may suffer strife in this world, but eternity so much longer. And it'll be ours. And we will be with him. And the trumpets that we will be hearing will be neither reveille nor taps. They'll be the trumpets that accompany us as we sing to the God with whom we are present. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Stand fast on that, folks. That's what's coming for those who are obedient. Let's pray. Father, bless us with strength, for we do live in a pagan land. Thank you for your grace to us. We pray that you would bring our nation back. We pray that you would use us in this quest. We pray that we would be your workmen. We ask your blessing on us as we tool up for the week. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.